01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move slowly but surely into the international break. Scotland have met up their training at Lesserhandon and setting their sights on friendlies against Japan and Ivory Coast, with of course the World Cup looming large at the end of the season. The title race never far from everyone's minds though, no matter how quiet the midweek is. How's everyone feeling about it on this Wednesday night? And in the Championship, Partick Thistle closed the gap on leader St Johnstone with a win against Raith Rovers. And with that in mind, you're joined by Tony Watt and Alex Ray. A good night at the office last night, was it?
Yeah, it was a very hard fought 3 points, Gordon. We haven't won in the league up there for 15 years, so it was good to get the monkey off the back. And no, the boys were really good. Showed a lot of resilience on the night, and we've managed to claw back to 5 points now. So we're looking forward to Friday night.
And presumably you would have been there.
Yes.
Injured in person.
Ask him in what capacity
Showing support to the boys.
Well, I was actually in a professional capacity, as I was pointed out. I went up in the stand and I had a bird's eye view if there was anything the manager or I needed at half time. I went down and reported. So
hold on a minute, right? Let me get this straight. You and Mark Wilson are supposed to be launching a serious title bid, and this guy's the analyst.
By the way, he was brilliant. Honestly, he's saying, right, what points do you want? So he's writing it all down before the game, and he says, right, I'll come back down, and if I see anything in game, where they're going, I says, just come and see me at the side.
See that? That's the difference in it. Well, the champion can't even get you an earpiece.
That's
you have to go and hand deliver the message.
Do you know what?
Ever heard a walkie talkie for this guy?
We do have all that, but trying to get it for Tony. No,
I had a message to deliver, and I said to the physio, if I've got something important, I'll text you. And I text him one tick for 10 minutes, so I had to run down and tell Al. But it was nothing. I don't really put in. It's just more of a nodding the head and saying
this
that
could
working.
Be the new thing. You know, managers hand, they've now, they pass notes on. That's yes. been happening for a few years, even when you're, whatever it was, 8-2 down. Yeah. And
oh, that was
Liam Rossignol passed
that
on.
Was,
that could be you.
That was a footballing ick for me last week when he done that.
I want to see you scampering down the stairs at Starks Park, handing over a note to Mark Wilson, which he can't read. And then he has to.
Do you want to laugh? We're standing before the game, we're just assessing things in the wind and all this sort of thing. He says, what do you think I should sit on? And you know who starts part with the dugouts?
Yeah, yeah.
He says, I think I'll sit over the far side. And I went, how are you going to get to us?
Run around the pitch.
By the way, I sat over there. I just gambled that nothing would go wrong in the first half. And the manager did say it was one of our best performances of the season. It was an easy one to sit. But no, I'm when you're injured, you don't want to be sitting doing nothing.
Yeah.
So you want to try and help. But basically, I'm not helping. I'm just nodding my head and telling how everyone's well.
No, genuinely, there was something he passed on in the second half that was really relevant. And we'd relayed that to the players, which was helpful.
There we go. You've got Partick Thistle's new analyst and their assistant manager here tonight. So if you want to get your thoughts in on anything Championship related, was a big night last night. 5 points. I know everyone seems on the outside seems to keep talking about St Johnstone, but that sounds doable. Certainly if we're talking about the context of the Premiership, because what about the last couple of nights? We keep asking, and lots of you have said, I think Celtic can technically still do it. You're looking at a similar points gap there, so get your thoughts into us on either title race. How does that sound? Let's lump them all together. I know it's the international break. We're moving further away from what happened at the weekend. I don't think that ever truly goes away, though, does it? I think you'll probably still have something on your mind regarding Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, and so on. So if you want to get them in, please do on 01419511025. Still waiting on a couple of other bits and pieces. St Mirren managerial situation, I feel like we discussed it last Wednesday. No real movement there. What does that mean for you, St Mirren fans? Something we've not got round to this week because of all the talk and the hype about the top three in the title race. I wonder if we could tap into you Aberdeen fans and try and find out how you're feeling, because that league table all of a sudden not looking great. Stephen Robinson not holding back either on his assessment of the players. And as football does, it throws up these things where you play St Mirren very soon as well. So Aberdeen fans, I'd like to hear from you. How worried or otherwise are you? 01419511025. So that's title race, Championship, Premiership, St Mirren, Aberdeen still loads doing the rounds there. And of course, in a few days' time, Scotland against Japan, Ivory Coast down at Everton on Tuesday. What a novel feeling, Alex Ray. I feel like nobody quite knows how to treat these friendlies, because We're not used to friendlies 2 months or 3-4 months away from a World Cup.
Yeah, but listen, I think there's a couple of positions that could potentially be up for grabs, Gordon. You know, Finlay Curtis will get a chance to showcase what he can do. There's a distinct lack of quality in the wide areas. And I think Steve Clarke has obviously thrown him in on the back of a couple of good performances of late. The goalkeeping situation is also another one that could potentially squeeze into that squad, depending on what it looks like in the summer. So I think there's always something to take for these games, Gordon. I think getting the boys together, and it's going to be massive, because obviously you want to be on that bus going over there. And you know, it's as a player, I would imagine we've clamoured for 20 odd years for us to get to the World Cup, and obviously you want to be on the squad to kind of it'd be the biggest of someone's career. Yeah.
Tell you what, I've realised you actually are taking your new role seriously, because you went down to Kilmarnock in a neutral capacity. I just remembered you texted me while the show was on.
Yep.
On Saturday, and you were heading down, so you got to see one of Scotland's new call-ups in the flesh, I would imagine.
Yeah, I was listening to the show obviously on my way down, and I went down to have a look at them. I said to the manager I wasn't doing anything, and I went down to watch Kilmarnock at the weekend, and he was by far the best player in the park. He's direct, he comes inside and looks to cross it, he can go down the line and cross it, he can come in and shoot, he's got pace, he was nicking things, he was the one that got the big centre-half sent off, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And everything, he just, Cammy Kerr's a good one-on-one defender, and they gave him a bit of a tough time as well. Cammy Kerr was fine, but Finlay Curtis was just so nippy, and he just caused a lot of problems, created a few good chances for his team, and he just looks like an old school winger. He wants to come in and cross it. He cut inside, but then he can change it up and go down the line. And he took his goal well as well. He got in a good position and he finished it well. So, no, I think he'll get a little bit of game time over the next two games for Scotland, and rightly so. And I think it's a really, really exciting call-up from Steve Clarke, and one that I think is also justified.
And as we said, it's Wednesday night. That means the dust kind of settles over the weekend. But I don't think it matters how important these friendlies are. That title race in Scotland is still going to be in the back of everybody's mind. What do you make of it as we sit here on the 25th of March?
Well, I don't think it can get any better, Gordon. I think it's neck and neck. I've said over the course of the last few weeks, I think I've seen a stat doing the rounds that I think over the course of the 31 games that there's only been one weekend where all three have won. Yeah. And you're thinking, wow, you know, and I think that says a lot where we are. I think all three are capable of dropping points. All three are capable of going on a really good run. And obviously, whoever goes on that most consistent run will go on and win the title. So it's really interesting. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we thought Celtic were kind of gathering momentum. Hearts have always bounced back well and showed a level of consistency. And then Rangers have got a couple of important results, which kind of claims it back to 3 points now. So great at the top, absolutely brilliant at the bottom, because obviously Aberdeen are going to be dragged into the mix as well with Kilmarnock and St Mirren winning at weekend. So I think if you were promoting this league, it couldn't be any better at the moment.
If any of that tickles your fancy, then give us a call, 01419511025. And what about Rangers fans? We've even got a breaking news for you tonight, because Rangers chairman Andrew Kavanagh's given a bit of an update. He's revealed the club are going to raise £16 million through a new share issue, also announcing a 6.5% increase in Ibrox season tickets in a bid to bolster Danny Rule's transfer budget, is the way it's been reported. So determined to back the manager this summer, fresh investment lined up. Some quotes coming out saying, if we want to continue to improve on the pitch, we need to increase the amount of resources and shifting as many of those resources to the men's first team as possible. So raising season ticket prices, we don't take the prices for granted, etc, etc. And we don't believe now is the time to decrease the player and football budget. In fact, we think the opposite. So what do you make of that, Rangers fans? Is that welcome news? They're going to try and funnel more money towards the men's first team. I don't think everybody's going to go and jump up and down and celebrate an increase in season ticket prices. That always comes with a bit of a catch 22 for Rangers fans, but clearly a big, another commitment there, Alex, and maybe a sign of where Rangers want to get to.
Yeah, they're obviously trying to, I suppose, 16 million. I read something the other day, they were talking about the stadium also getting a revamp as well. But I think the key thing from what you're just saying there, Gordon, would be that it would be mostly invested in the men's first team. I think obviously someone who's been connected with the club for a long time, that's to be encouraged, because what that does is it gives Danny Rowe an opportunity to build on what he's already inherited, plus he's had that window there. We'd obviously spent some money in January. What did you say, was it a 5% increase?
6%.
Yeah. Right, okay, 6%. So listen, I've obviously got season tickets. I'm only talking for myself. I would happily pay 6% if it's going to go back to the men's team, which hopefully we can kick on. And because you know, they've been in the doldrums for such a long time.
You never obviously know where it's going to pan out, if that money spent wisely, etc., Tony. But in the broadest, briefest sense, from this distance, I think the Rangers fans will like the sound of that. Will feel like it's a kind of continuing to kind of move in the right direction and be ambitious and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, these guys seem to want what's best for the club. Obviously, I think for a few years, Rangers fans would have been a bit sceptical when they're asking for more money, when some people in the club wasn't progressing the way it probably should have. Now, it looks as if this guy's the real deal. These guys are the real deal. And I think the money will go into the first team, and I think that's how you go forward, and that's how you spend money to make money. And I think the Champions League is the big one for Rangers. If they can go and win the league this year, go and invest and compete and get in the group stage of Champions League, I think the money's wild. I think we're talking 40 million plus before you add in everything else you can make on a match day. So no, I think it's worthwhile raising it, doing it in a smart way, not just taking out your own pocket and putting it against the club. And I know the fans will maybe need to pay a little bit extra, but I'm sure a lot of them will be happy. If the season ticket's £700 or what, an extra £40, an extra what, £2 a game or whatever it is.
I'll
however it
trust
works.
Your arithmetic. I hadn't bothered to crunch the numbers.
So an extra £2 a game or something. And I know people say, oh, the cost of living, everything, but a couple of pounds a game to see better players, I'm sure they'll be happy to pay that.
And it's interesting, Alex, because this is what you ultimately have to do. We might be sitting here in a couple of months and Rangers are champions, and this is about pushing on from a position of strength.
Absolutely.
Similarly, we might be sitting and Rangers are finished third and everybody's fuming at the end of the season. This is seen as a way to get back on track. So that's why it's also fascinating at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And depending on the way you look at this, and you've obviously gave the two examples, if they had to go on and win the title on the back of the opening 3 months of the season, it would be like very much unexpected by most Rangers fans. So the fact that they've got an opportunity to do that and again get more money in the coffers from that point of view, I get the impression these guys want to build. And I think if you can see progress, and if that starts in their first season on the back of a real mistake, then I think most people get behind that.
Brian is first through tonight. Brian, what's it looking like for you at the moment then? We've got a bit of a quiet midweek from the title race, but I'm sure you're still very much fresh in the memory.
Yes, hi panel, thanks for letting me on.
Hi, Brian.
It was just something I was thinking about. You were on a week on Sunday, weren't you, Alec?
I was, I've been on a couple of Sundays, yeah.
I'm the guy with the dog that was barking.
I feel like we get that quite a lot on here, by the way. It's unruly dogs in the background.
Yeah, do you know, are you the guy who gave us a Tottenham update as well? Tottenham's just scored?
Yes,
I remember you, Brian.
I've just put him outside there, you know.
So did they disturb us?
Yeah, when I'm looking at a title race, and it's normally two teams in this country, if it is, I always look, once again, after the third game, I always look at the results to the two teams and how that affects the rest of the results. And I think this is quite interesting. Now, if you look at Hearts and Rangers, played three times, Hearts have won twice, Rangers won, so that's 3 points. That should be 3 points a gap if you've taken care of their teams. And it is 3 points. Rangers and Celtic, Rangers should be 3 points in front of Celtic because they've beaten them once, drew twice, there's a 2 point gap. And Hearts should be 6 points in front of Celtic because they've beaten them twice. There's a 5 point gap. So it's not just close in terms of the points, it's also close in terms of the other results. It's very close. I think that's quite interesting.
I actually see what you mean. And in a season where we see at the foot, Brian, I need to be Tony's confused, right? Tony's head's
his face
gone a bit.
Is saying something different.
And I must admit, at the start, I thought, where's Brian going here? What Brian's ultimately trying to say is, see the gaps between the teams. It's almost like
the head to head.
It's reflective of the head to heads.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, because quite often we don't get that. Was it last year, in fact? Did Rangers not have the Rangers have a superior head to head against Celtic last season?
Yeah,
did they? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And obviously lost you know, lost the league. Brian, well, I think that's an original thought. Everything's been said on the transfer, the title race so far, but Brian's right. Actually, the head-to-heads are kind of mirrored in where they are now. Yeah. Obviously, that can then fluctuate what you do against the other teams, but good observation, I'm calling that.
No, good. It's a good point. And as I said, it's been pretty tight. I have to say, though, from a normal traditional season, Hearts are punching well above, particularly against the Old Firm. And, you know, I think they were going to these games with confidence. Other players are going to be with confidence. So you talk about experience of, you know, when it comes down to the wire and so forth. If I was a Hearts player going into these games, I would be going in there thinking we've got a really good chance of turning these over. So, as I said, I think it's been, and it is the best season I can recall for probably my lifetime. It's incredible, the drama and the weekly turnaround. And I think that's the beauty of this show as well. You know, you come in here every week and you're going, right, okay, last week we callers on saying so-and-so was going to cave in, and then all of a sudden they bounce back. So it's been brilliant. I've really enjoyed it.
You caught up with Brian's theory.
I get it now, No, that's quite a good point for Brian.
Because quite often there can be random anomalies with that stuff. I don't mean to just suddenly bring League Two into it, but me and Scott Allen were talking about that recently. There were, so East Kilbride are top, right? Yeah. They've lost four times to Spartans.
All right.
Who's like their closest rivals. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But in the Premiership, Brian's made a good point that they're all sort of, you know, kind of, like I said, reflective of those head-to-head records. You wonder what that means. They're going for, because they're all going to need to play each other. So that's the beauty of the split.
I think that then would put Hearts into the strongest position. But I think Rangers will be happy where they're sitting close enough to Hearts, and obviously Celtic 5 points behind. It's just a little bit further back than they would like after the weekend, the result against Dundee United. But I think Hearts will, I think if I was going to put my hat on anything, I think Hearts will beat either one of Celtic or Rangers, at least one of them. I'm not saying both, but I think they've just got the mentality. Well, don't know. It depends who I want to annoy tonight.
Rangers is at Tynecastle, Celtic's at Celtic Park, isn't it?
Yeah. So I would imagine Hearts have done really well not to go on a bad run after they get a bad result. Rangers battered them at Ibrox, but then the form after that, did they not win two or three in a row? Mm. And the other teams dropped points. I still think Hearts are probably slight favourites at the moment, but I do think Rangers have picked up recently a lot. Mm.
Right, Brian, we've given you credit for the observation, but you need to take it a step further. What does it all mean? Who's going to win?
So when he's right, Hearts have lost, is it five league games?
Yeah.
Season. Is it four or five?
Five, I think.
Right, the previous defeats, take away the Rangers game, I guess, the previous defeats, it's all been by one goal. In fact, I think most of it's 1-0. So it's even though, when I've seen them play Kilmarnock were the better side. But Rangers did. Rangers actually beat them very comfortably, you know, that night at Ibrox. So I was wondering how Hearts were going to cope with getting really well beaten. And they've came back. Basically, I think, even though Celtic had a bad result at the weekend, I'm still not counting them out. I think most of them, I think it'll go the wire. And I'm hoping, obviously, my team crosses that wire first.
I wonder if Derek McInnes will put he maybe reflected different on the Rangers game. Tony said they were battered. Brian said something similar. Don't get me wrong, I think Rangers 1,000,000%, you know, deserve to win the game. But Derek, it wouldn't have been without positives. He still went to Ibrox and scored twice. Yeah.
But they're not leading twice.
Yeah, the fourth goal comes. That was quite late, wasn't it? They might feel like they were kind of still in that game until. So I doubt they are walking around saying they were battered, if that makes sense.
No, I wouldn't get the impression either. And you're absolutely right. The fact that they went twice in the lead, and it was kind of, as you rightly said, I think it was late on. And you're always running a risk. I think if you go to Ibrox and score a couple of goals, I think the disappointing thing for Hearts on that day would have been that they conceded four. Because I think over the course of the season, they have a very good defensive record. I think the only team that's better is Motherwell. So, you know, they've been very resolute. And to lose four in one game, is obviously, as Brian says on the line, normally they're all losing 1-0s when they are losing. So to lose four in a game would have been a source of frustration for Derek McKinnon. But I think your braggers of the world, Cazaridis and guys like that will be going there thinking we can still kind of turn these teams over, and that's I think that's the beauty of it all. I think you're looking at these provincial clubs, albeit it's their bigger ones in Edinburgh, they're looking at that, Gordon, and are thinking to themselves, we can go there and beat them. It doesn't matter whether we're going to Parkhead. They've done that as well this season, and they've also done it at Ibrox. So they're beginning to do these games full of confidence.
Thank you very much to Brian. What about any fresh reaction to that breaking news out of Rangers tonight, that chairman's update from Andrew Kavanagh, talking about a £16 million cash injection to support summer transfers and other work? He's covered off a few topics there, that Rangers are also ditching their plans to replace Kevin Thelwell, so no sporting director appointment imminent. It does look like, you might remember Stig Ingebjornaby, who was brought in as a consultant back in December, looks like he could stay on perhaps in that role or a similar role going forward. So if you've any thoughts there, then please do get in touch and let us know what you're thinking, and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Rare here for their weekly Partick Thistle clinic. If you want to get in touch, Jags fans, you must have been pleased with that last night. You know, I was in the gym, nice, doing the old refreshing the score, because listen, you try and stay neutral in this business, but when it comes to the Championship, we've got to be throwing our weight behind the local team.
Agreed.
I mean, that's the way it is. I find myself getting I don't know if nervous is the right word, but I just want to make sure that you get over the line. Well, that's a bit different. And I was refreshing it, and I'm thinking, you just don't want to see that wraith go to one. So seeing you scored the second, I thought, I think that's impressive. And it's a good sign of character, yeah, that, not just sort of hanging on and getting over the line.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Fitzy, it was good that Fitzy got the goal, because Rafe put quite a horrible tweet up about me at the start of the season. So we Fitzy getting the goal, and I think he just obviously had Stars Park as his playground. But no, the first goal was up there with one of the best goals, team goals I've seen live. It was sensational. The phase I played before, it was
good stuff. Do you know when you talk about kind of the social media really taking a liberty at times?
I was going to say, I can't believe this is a thing now. No, players are like scoring and enjoying it because of
Fitzy
tweets.
Fitzy was going to close down the fullback, and he's running, he's directly behind him, and the boy just rolls it back through his legs and goes and gets it.
Yeah,
it was
so was this the last time?
Yeah.
And so they've mocked him for getting nutmegged, and then he goes and has the last laugh with the goal last night.
They said something like, what he'll see in his sleep tonight, and then Fitzy, I think last night the club and Fitzy posted saying he'll sleep well tonight or something.
There you go. That's all par for the course nowadays.
Yeah.
Changed the way, Alex. Imagine you and your day worrying about tweets.
I remember the days that you didn't even go home after the game.
Well, that's an entirely different story. Reese is on the line. Hi, Reese.
How you doing, guys? Good evening, Gordon, Tony, and Alex.
How you doing, Reese?
Hi, Reese. What are you thinking?
Well, I was just really to touch on with Alex and a few points for the Rangers game, the Rangers players at the weekend, but mainly for January, Alex. I don't think I know he's just in the door, but I don't think Tor Romans will be here that long. You know, this boy's a class above to me. He's come in, he's been ready-made. Talked to Tukwane as well. Now, ultimately, it might be Raskin's replacement, but again, looking good for next season. I think Rangers have showed real strength in January, and the signings are starting to come to the fruition now. Cole Holton, I wouldn't pay the money for as of yet in the summer, guys, but you know, in terms of Romans and Tukwane, I'd just like to get your thoughts on what you think, especially to Romans, Alec. I think the boy's a level above, honestly.
I think he's done brilliant, Reese. I think he's come in. What I like about him as well is he's very accomplished going forward, joining in. It looks to me as if he's got a final ball as well, which always helps when you get into that kind of kill zone. And he obviously scored as well. So I like everything I'm seeing about him. Defensively, he looks sound as well. Looks a decent enough size for a modern-day player. And I think he's a good addition. I think he's just turned 22 as well. So
yeah.
I kind of think he hits the profile when you're trying to recruit. You know, you're hitting these guys running about 21, 22, paying a few quid for them, a couple of years here, and then putting them onto a better league where you can claim, you know, an uplift in your investment. And I've been saying for weeks now, I actually really like the boy, Tukwane. I like the fact that he plays forward. When he gets a ball, he's always looking to go and probe or drive forward. I met him in the stairwell a couple of days, and it was him and Olsen. And you know when you're looking at this guy and you're
he's
going,
massive, isn't he?
He is man mountain. And I'm thinking to myself, is this guy a midfielder?
I did the same at the training ground. Now everybody towers over me, right?
Well, which join the club.
But I was also sitting in one of the seats at the reception. He walked through the door.
He's massive.
Huge. Yeah.
So the good thing about that is he will bring a physicality and a presence. Plus he's technically very good as well. So I think there's a development in him, and I think he ticks the boxes as well going forward.
Tony, I remember this theory that kept getting offered on this show and others towards the tail end of January, which was whichever team had the best January transfer window out of the three would go on and win the title. You cannot get every signing right. No team in the world does it. Reese has mentioned Scott Volson, who ironically probably had the highest hopes and expectation. Yeah. Don't think anyone has necessarily been delighted with his offering. But can you really ask for much more than two out of three, and then for the two to be as sort of seamless, the transition into the first team, the way Romans and Chukwuane have?
Well, we spoke about Celtic last week about people not playing, getting signed in January and taking a while to get up to speed. If you actually add Nadiri in, who seems to be the manager starting 11,
I don't know why I forgot
whether
about
he's
yet.
Scoring goals or not, he's still been a success because they're winning games with him in the team. Olsen didn't play much games before he came to Rangers. He wasn't really in favour and he struggled. For me, I think you can look at that before January and say, we need ready-made players. And I think Danny Rowe's done that. He's wanted physicality and he's wanted ready-made players. I think Chukwuane looks very good. I think Nadiri looks decent. But Romans, for me, he's been the signing of January. He's been... I watched him against St Mirren. Even against Rangers, just before... against Aberdeen at home, sorry. Just before the goal, he cuts one back. Mikey Moore has a chance. It comes back out. Was it to Chukwuane? And he scores. Against St Mirren, his positioning, he was struggling with an injury. His positioning was brilliant. He got in for the goal. He scored the winner. He can defend, he can get forward, but he looks like he's played 30 games this season. That's the difference for me. He looks as if he knows how to play football the way Rangers want him to play football. And that was for me. And I said the same in January. It's the old cliche, whoever signs the best in January will go on and win the league. And I think Rangers, by signing these players who are ready to step into the first team, look the strongest to go on and win the league.
Reese, do you think these guys can be the difference, the bit that turns a title winning season?
Alec gave him the boy Romans all the points for going forward, but Tony just hit the nail on the head there as well. Defensively, he's absolutely solid as well. Nadiri, he puts a lot of effort in on the field. You know, he sacrifices himself, I feel, right now for Tormiti. I don't know how long that would last. I would actually like to see Rangers put Nadiri up front and just see how that would go, because I think that boy could be a bit more selfish than maybe Tormiti. I feel like, I've heard pundits say on here before, most of our strikers are attracted to the ball. They always come short for the ball. They're never selfish enough to just wait inside the box. And I don't know if that's a Danny Rowe thing or if it's just the way strikers are these days, but I mean, you've got a striker on your panel, they look scored big goals in big games and that. So
thanks very much.
Well done, Al.
But Rangers fans might be able to pick me right on this. We've had some fantastic loan signings over the years. The best one off the top of my head would probably be Steve Davis, right? I don't think many people would argue with that. But other than Steve Davis, I can't think of a better loan signing than Mikey Moore. Again, Czerny, Seymour, Vladimir Weiss back in the day, all successful loan signings. But Mikey Moore, he plays like he's not got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's 18, he's constantly wanting the ball. You know, you've seen many a player that's had successful careers come up here to the SPFL and crumble. Mikey Moore doesn't have that about him. Like, there's something different about this boy, man. And I've mentioned a few names. We've had special loan signings in the past, but other than Steve Davis, who turned out to be one of the best ever players, I don't think Rangers have had a better ever loan signing. I don't know if he's about to put that out there, guys, and see if anybody
would. That's a good question.
Listen, I think he's obviously, I think Czerny last year was very good. I think he carried numbers. The team off. Numbers were good. Seymour prior to that as well, before he got injured, was decent. Steve Davis was a Rolls Royce. He was top draw. I think he makes a valid point. I actually wrote it down there. You know, he touched on Olsen and the potential 8 or 9 million, whatever the fee is. If you were potentially looking to try and buy someone at an age, which we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, Mikey Moore would very much come into that. Now, the big stumbling block would be what would Tottenham want for him?
Do you think the chances are of him staying? Because this has kind of bubbled away a bit of the weekend. I think Rangers obviously want to keep him. Danny Rowe said that. He said all he could say, and obviously that get reported as he's open to staying, because of course he is. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to say, nah, forget this.
Yeah, of course.
Don't even know what division Spurs are going to be in next season. Is there any chance, is what I'm trying to get.
No, listen,
at.
I think there's always a chance. It depends on where Spurs are for starters, Gordon, whether they want to bring him back. Because the thing is, the one thing about Spurs will be monitoring how well he's doing up here, and it's a great breeding ground. If you're going to the Old Firm and you're playing on a regular basis with the actual scrutiny, and you know it's an unforgiving place, and players have come up and caved in. I think the boy's actually grown in stature, which tells you a lot about his character to play at that level. So he could potentially stay. But again, I'm not sure, because sometimes when you go into these negotiations, you sometimes say to him, is there a fee that we can actually, can I get him at the tail end of this? And it doesn't rise or fall depending on the performances. So whether that's been discussed then, because if you're going to go and pay substantial money, because obviously they're talking about this share issue and all that, would Mikey Moore, I think he's a fan's favourite, he would very much come into that bracket.
At the outset, I don't know about how these deals work, but as a layman, I find that conversation probably wouldn't have happened at the start, because Spurs had such high hopes for him, yeah, and it felt very much like, and he's so young as well, you know, come up and go back down, but you just don't know what's changed. Whether, I mean, what if they're in the Championship? Does that, I don't know, maybe that means there's less chance because they really want him back to go and spearhead, you know, the next season.
I think there's a very, very small chance you'll see him there permanently. Look, I think it would be beneficial for them to send him back on loan next year. He's done well. He's a young kid. He's growing and growing every week. I think they'd benefit from another year loan, but I think it would be virtually impossible to get him on a permanent due to the fact he's English for a start. That always puts an extra
English tax.
Yes, it puts a bit of tax on it. The fact that he's done so well and the fact that he's shown a mentality coming up to Celtic or Rangers, like you say, Old Firm, the pressure's on. You're that age and you're going to try and perform every week, and he's doing so. He's been a lot more consistent than a young kid normally would be at that age as well. He's still only in the England under-19s, which shows he's still got 3 or 4 years before he's needed at a first-team level in England, because that's what happens. They let them go, they let them go, and then at 22, 23, whatever, they then start playing every week. But I think the best thing for all parties, including Tottenham, unless Tottenham end up in the Championship, which I doubt he would want to play in.
What do you think that would do? Let's really get ahead of ourselves. If Spurs get relegated,
they would want him, I think.
So like almost to become one of the main men, or, you know, even appease the fans, because
even in the Premiership next year, they've got to be looking at it and going, right, well, we can't be worse than this season. They've not really got a left winger. They've been playing a striker there.
So you think Rangers fans want Spurs to stay up? Does that give you the best chance?
Well, see, the thing is, I've seen teams, you know, they go down and they keep their quota just so they bounce straight back up, you know, to try and keep the lion's share. But the argument to that was that the lion's share of the Tottenham team are underperforming now, so they might not want him. So that kind of contradicts what I'm trying to say. But I've actually seen them teams that actually go down, they just keep everybody in the building just so they go back up.
Reese, thank you very much. Let's bring in Alan and squeeze it in before the travel. Take it away, Alan.
Hey, hello, panel. How are you doing?
Good, Alan. How are you?
I'm just thinking about the way how things are shaping up to the end of the season, how close Rangers, Celtic, and Hearts are just now. And see, it's must wins for all three of us right up to the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's going to come down to Rangers versus Celtic, and Hearts to see who clinch it. But I've been most interested in, do you think this might end up going to a three-team helicopter Sunday.
Do you think Hugh Keevan's, that would just be too much excitement for him on the last day of the season? I think his head would just explode. Imagine everything on the line.
Yeah. Would you imagine, listen, I'm just throwing that out here. Can you imagine that two of the three play in the last day of the season?
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I was having a look. There are a few different
permutations
and forecasts and all this, but I remember seeing one which suggested maybe Rangers at Tynecastle on the last day could be a realistic possibility, you know, once you start piecing together all the others and who has to go where. I think there's a decent-ish chance that Rangers go to Tynecastle.
You would imagine.
By the way, it's based on nothing. There's no inside information. But also, you don't need reminded, but I was going to say sorry to the Celtic fans. It could be Celtic maybe for Park on the last day.
Do you know the interesting thing about what you're actually saying is, because Rangers are three away.
Yeah.
So one of them's going to, with one of the first or second game will most certainly be Celtic. So what was the other game gone? Predicting. So you obviously get, you've got Hearts, Celtic, and what was the other game potentially that you could go away with?
Which one? For Rangers?
For Rangers, yeah.
So Rangers should be probably away to Falkirk, Celtic and Hearts.
Right, okay.
Right, and you can have two away in a row. They wouldn't need to, but you could be looking at that, maybe Falkirk and Celtic away. Listen, we're
kind of headers.
There are a lot, but
and when are they? Is it directly after the last game of the split? That
well,
is it the following day?
This is the thing. It could have been now if Falkirk had got their point at the weekend.
So they would actually reveal them.
Yeah, I think they probably, I don't know, they probably would have this week because you want to get ahead of it.
Yeah, planning and things.
Dundee United went and beat Celtic in case you hadn't heard, and kept that alive. Yeah. I reckon we probably would have been looking at some point this week had that been wrapped up. So it won't be long.
I know. Can you imagine just sitting here
for
the
couple of weeks?
Surely
they'll be penciled in, right? What chance are you giving Dundee United? 6 points behind Falkirk.
I would probably say
two games
five,
to go.
5%
difference. Weaker.
Seven goal difference. Going to Ibrox next.
A 5% chance of nicking.
I don't even think
as high
got
as
that.
Well, I'm generous.
Mm, yeah, you're very generous.
Nah, I think it would be amazing. Tynecastle would be rocking. But the thing I don't like, and it need to be done, the two teams would need to play at the same time. Imagine you got the Celtic, whoever's behind in points played the game, and then that was a must win for both teams. I think
they always play the last one at the same time. The only thing is what you've got, and this is where it's going to be great as well, when TV companies go and pick their fixtures and all that, you've got to prepare that it could be one on the second last night. Do you know what I mean? Because you don't quite know, you obviously don't know what's going to happen. We're talking about all the moving parts. You know, you can have all these best laid plans and think, look at that final day, that's what it's going to come down to, but all of a sudden a result or two goes
and it could be the second last
one. You don't expect it, and it could be prior to that. But Alan, where would the helicopter land? You're a Rangers fan, is that what you're expecting?
Yes, I'm a Rangers. I think Rangers are playing the best out of the three of us just now as it is, but I think it might end up going that way. But then Rangers and Celtic can't play in Glasgow on the same day, really, in the last day, if that happens, really hypothetically, can they?
No, I wouldn't have
that's not happening. Easy, Alan, steady.
Celtic play at Celtic Park the last game of the season, and then Hearts could play in Edinburgh.
As I said, I think that one forecast I remember seeing was Rangers and Celtic would then have been both away on the last day. But anyway, loads to look forward to. Thank you, Alan, for raising it with us. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Clyde One. £700,000. And no, it's not Tony Watt's signing on fee at Partick Thistle from the summer. It is the Make Me a Winner amount on offer for you within the next 2 days. So text yes to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at your standard rate. It is over 18s only, and lines close 5 p.m. Friday. So good luck from us. Text yes to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. Still looking for you Partick Thistle fans to pick their brains. How's the old championship title race looking at the moment? Let us know. We'll bring in Declan on the phones first. Hi, Declan.
All right, mate. How's it going?
Are you well?
I just wanted to phone up about a humble pie, mate, because I was phoning last weekend saying, how raging were you, Alex? Because I'm the one who left raging.
How raging were you at the weekend, Declan?
Mate, it happens.
Absolute shambles, your performance on Sunday. People can blame the pitch not, but that team's spineless. Absolutely spineless. All season, we've just been, if it wasn't for Martin O'Neill, we would be no neighbour. We'd probably be in sixth place now. And also, I just want to say, I know, I think to you, Alex, if I was you, I would try to find out where Danny Rowe got his wig for, because you're needing it, my man.
So Declan's on pretending he wants to be all nice. I apologise to you.
And then he puts the boot in.
I don't think, you've not lived here for ages. No. I don't think
that's
works.
That's my training ground tomorrow morning.
I have to be honest with you.
By the way, I've seen pictures. You used to have old Danny
Rowe. Believe it or not, well, I used to have one. You're God, I used to have a boot on. But listen, these things happen, and I'm pleased to say I've took it with grace over the years. It's not as if I've been clinging on with the old comb over and so forth. So no, if I see Danny, I've never met him yet, I'll ask the question.
Where he got it?
There was a rumour it's a wig, wasn't it? Is that true?
I don't know.
There was a rumour. I think he looks brilliant. I think he's looks good. But there was people were coming out and saying that.
Do you want me to turn this into a sincere discussion on this show?
Yeah, because
No, don't. Just listen.
I saw people were zooming in on photos and all sorts. But see, the problem is now, I genuinely don't know now Because I've seen what people talking about the old hairline, and yeah. I don't even know, is that true?
I don't know.
I don't have time to look into it anymore.
In like Germany or Bayern Munich, wherever it is, and they just gave him an old man.
What's happening here? Alex Ray with hair on the screen. That was fast.
Yes.
Look at that. I think this call's been set up.
You remember we were doing this and it was, you remember Dumb and Dumber?
Lloyd Christmas.
Lloyd Christmas.
On the fringe.
Somebody cut that with a broken bottle, I think.
Aye. On every good days. Look at that, was the old den. That was a tricky place.
Blimey heck. Look at those pictures. Doesn't really work if you're listening on radio. It's more of a live stream feature.
Yes.
On the show. I'm now so distracted about whether pictures of Danny Rowe's hairline are real or not. Do you know what it does remind, like, see, a few years ago, you know, where you're like just chronically online, you would look and you would feel like you had a good grasp of these things. I find that, see, now I don't have time to look through Twitter constantly to get to the bottom of this stuff.
The worst one's when you get caught out with one as well, when you scroll by and you maybe see it and put in a group chat, mm-hmm. people are saying that's the most AI thing ever. I hate it. It used to come on every Sunday. It was like deep fake wars or something on Channel 5. My missus used to go mad at me. I used to say, I hate it. And every week she's like, oh, are you going to say that now? Because it's just fake news, isn't it? Donald Trump would be proud of me. But
what's fake news here? Do you know why? It's such a quiet week. We're entertaining madness.
In amongst it, Declan did speak about Celtic's performance. He called it spineless. He's raging. He says, well, Mr. Celtic and Dundee United, come on, this is your expert subject.
I'm not making excuses for Celtic, but first off, the pitch was a disgrace. It was like playing in a car park, right? But they need to be better because there's two teams playing on that park. The goals are avoidable. You look at that team at the weekend and you see how many people are going to survive next season, and that, for me, is the biggest indicator of where Celtic are at the moment. They didn't look up to their best. At home, they'll be fine, totally fine, but it's away from home. The games like that, they need to win the league. And for me, it's going to maybe just be a little bit too much now. Celtic were my favourites for up until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then I maybe went Hearts, and then I'm dithering between Hearts and Rangers now.
I've noticed that you've changed your mind every week.
Yeah, I'm not a very good predictor of the future. However,
do you think it was a particularly alarming performance though, in terms, because that, you know, that's where I think where Declan's coming from. You know, lose a game can happen, pitch wasn't great and so on, but for a start of Celtic's 8th league defeat of the season, so this is more than just a kind of a one-off bad day, but also the nature of it. Because I'm interested in Declan's theory, saying, you know, if it wasn't for Martin O'Neill, goodness knows. But there also becomes a point where, no matter who the manager is, no matter how legendary he is or whatever, and I don't really mean this specifically Celtic, just anyone, if you get praise when things go good, you need to probably get a bit of stick when things don't go so well. They never looked like, you know, that late show that you sometimes expect, or the comeback, things that we've spoken about, that never looked.
I agree with that in terms of he needs praise for it, because this Celtic team needs a lot of work. See, if you went through the starting 11 for the weekend, you're talking 2 or 3 people get kept next year. A lot of people leave. Maidas, Hatatis of the world, they'll leave because their form's been inconsistent and it's shown. I don't think Martin O'Neill's a problem, and I don't think his coaching staff are at the moment, because they are working with what they've got. Their hands were tied in January by, like we said, they get £0 to spend.
It's quite a unique set of circumstances though, for like I said, for any club. I'm talking about a blanket rule here. Forget whether it's Celtic or anyone else. Can you ever totally absolve a manager?
Yeah, because I think he's punched above his weight with the group of players he's got in
seriously
front of him,
though,
in terms of,
this is still Celtic we're talking about.
No, I agree with that, but what I'm saying is the recruitment in the summer.
So hold on, let's get this straight. Third place is punching above your weight for Celtic.
Including the win in the semi-final against Rangers and the win in the
Scottish Cup.
Scottish Cup.
I get that. But
in terms of,
how could third for Celtic ever be described as punching above
your
weight?
But you've got to remember what Wilfred Nancy left behind as well, and the last minute winners he's given. I think, don't get me wrong, punching above a weight's maybe the phrase that sounds as if everything's going okay. No. There's been a few bad results under his time as well, but I think he's only lost 2 or 3 of the games. I think he's been dealt a hand, and he's done what he can do with a hand. And I think the goalkeeping situation hasn't been good for him. Trusty's obviously missed a few games with suspension, and he missed his captain for a few games there, albeit they won the games. And the striker situation, even though Iheanacho looked okay at the weekend, has been nothing short of a shambles.
There was two folds there we were talking about there, and I think after the game it was the first time I've really seen Martin O'Neill in that demeanour. He felt as if, you know, they have got late show many times under his tenure in the both stints since he came back, and it just wasn't there at the weekend. I think that was a real source of frustration, because as I said, I think it was they went down quite easily in the end. And the second thing is that with Tony touches on there, you know, how many do you keep? And I've seen that in the last couple of weeks. You have to get ready 50. I've actually got a Photoshop of the players this guy was suggesting was going, and Negrin and all that was in there, and Ralston and all these other guys. You just kind of ship out 15, 20 players, especially the ones that are all contracted, they're on decent dough at this level. How are you going to get them out? And then you have to have a refresh, Gordon, to get the new bodies in.
Declan, a pleasure as always. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what you're made of. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. 01419511025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. We can turn our attention to the Scotland friendlies at some point, a couple of days away, getting big. I know it's only a friendly, but we said at the top of the show these friendlies are with a view to what happens at the World Cup. We've not said that in generations, so get all your thoughts in, please. Loads coming in still on the title race, will not go away. What about the Championship? Might as well tap into the expertise of these two, having won with Partick Thistle last night to close the gap to 5 points at the top. But let's play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Beat the Pundit's most enthusiastic contestant, Tony Watt, is still here. Every week, Alex Ray would just quite happily hand over the responsibility Absolutely. To Tony if he could. But the coin decides. Kevin is in Linwood. How are you, Kevin?
I am all right.
Have you ever played this before?
I should beat me a tiebreaker.
No, never admit that, for goodness sake. Tell me you don't tell your people in public that Hugh Keevan's beat you. A tiebreaker?
It was a trick question, actually.
Do you remember it?
I was how many caps have the three McGinn brothers got, and only two of them have played for Scotland.
I thought, what's trick about that?
Oh, the other one's no played, have they?
Exactly. So I had a zero on whatever the other two have got.
I know.
Anyway,
overcomplicated it.
That's true. Right, let's toss the coin anyway and we'll see how we go. If it's the blue side, it will be Tony Watt, and the red side for Alex Ray, who looks like he's frantically
checking,
studying.
I'm
before
studying,
it goes.
Yeah.
You don't know what the questions are.
No, I know, but have you?
He takes it very seriously, him.
Yeah, okay.
He's on to me, can I see the league table? I said, no, you can't, because the tiebreaker question's
printed. That's what hurts me the most about not playing, just that above. I can't go above people. I want to go above people and have the bragging right.
I'd be happy to be mid-table. I'm going to lie.
Right, well, let's toss the coin and see who Kevin in Linwood faces tonight. I'm afraid I saw that as it landed, Alex Ray. It is a red. So Alex up against Kevin from Linwood.
He's devastated, look at him.
Always next week.
That's 5 weeks in a row, I think.
Is it?
Aye.
Oh dear, that is. I need to sort that out. Kevin, 30 seconds going on the clock. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay? Good man, Kevin. 30 seconds then, starting now. Stephen Naismith started his career at which club?
Falkirk.
In which stadium is the Sky Sports Cup final being played on Sunday?
Scott Road.
How many major trophies have Hearts won this century?
Two.
Which goalkeepers get the most Scottish Premiership clean sheets this season?
Ward.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Anthony Ralston or Nathan Patterson? Okay, Alex Ray, can you hear us?
That was a brilliant song. My old pal, Eric Clapton, Layla.
Your old pal, did you just say?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Remember I told you I went for dinner with him and all that?
Oh my.
Back in the day?
You went for dinner with Eric Clapton?
I told you on the show.
Pick no, up. I remember, that's not the one I was thinking. Who else? What? There's another musician that's like a big Wolves fan or something. Is it a female?
That's Robert Plant.
Right.
No, I didn't have dinner.
You went
with
for dinner with Eric Clapton.
Yeah. And the King's Road, just after Chelsea.
Pick it up. The name you just dropped, like Eric.
You need to give us a bit more detail.
Oh no, no, I went, I had a friend down in London, and I told you this anyway. A mate who was really pally with him. Me and my mate were bowling along the King's Road, and the bull Derek came out, and he says, "What are you up to, chaps?" He says, "We're going for dinner." And the next week, give me 2 minutes. Went to his house and all that. It's incredible. So we went and had dinner in a wee French restaurant.
You get the guitar out, no?
No. No,
is that only like?
I'm going to. You know, I love Pink Floyd, and I was like, "Oh, you must know the Pink Floyd guys." He's like, "Nah, no, really." And then I seen a collaboration. He just pied me.
So is it only annoying like semi decent musicians that get their guitar out and bore everybody with it? The actual elite don't. They don't bother.
Nah. To be fair, it was very charming.
It was funny actually. On that, I didn't expect a guitar anecdote tonight. I was in the school run today, sitting in the car park. Car park's rammed, obviously. Turned around, the boy in the car next to me just sitting playing his guitar in the car, waiting to pick up the kids.
Stop it!
I thought
it's weird that
some mad things go in the car. Have you seen the stuff?
Things are different since I moved out of Motherwell. Honestly, you wouldn't get that.
The Scranza van. Have you seen that on TikTok?
No,
I'll send you later.
Okay. That guy just sitting having a wee strum of his guitar. That's anyway.
Wild.
Right, I got distracted there. Have you played? No, you've not played yet. No. Kevin did. Right, 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. Stephen Naismith started his career at which club?
Kilmarnock.
In which stadium is the Sky Sports Cup final being played on Sunday?
Hampden.
How many major trophies have Hearts won this century?
Two.
Which goalkeeper has the most Scottish Premiership clean sheets this season?
Clean sheets would be... Pass.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Anthony Ralston or Nathan Patterson?
Ralston.
Who's the manager of Stirling Albion?
Naismith.
Who was relegated from last season's Scottish Championship?
Relegated for the Championship, Inverness.
Okay, let's see what Kevin could do as well.
That first answer, that's so bad. That first answer, I actually watched them on Charlie McGrew's podcast with the golf thing about 3 days ago when they were playing golf and talking about it.
Oh, I know. I did wonder, because I thought maybe, how old are you, Kevin?
I'm 47.
Ah, no excuse. I was wondering, I thought maybe Kevin's really young and you can't remember where Stephen Naismith started.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was. I'm not going to lie to you. Kilmarnock 1-0, Alex Ray. Glasgow City play Rangers in the Sky Sports Cup final on Sunday at Fir Park. Motherwell, so none of you got it. How many major trophies have Hearts won this century? It's two, 2006 and 2012 Scottish Cups. You both got it.
Wow.
So it's 2-1.
That was an absolute guess.
Alex Ray. Which goalkeeper has the most Premiership clean sheets?
It's the Motherwell.
Callum Ward has 17, which is four more than Shwalov and five more than Butland and Schmeichel. Kevin got it.
Yeah,
well done to Kevin, because he dug it out. I could see him scrambling around and he eventually got it. Callum Ward. You both went for Anthony Ralston over Nathan Patterson. Would you have agreed with that, Tony?
I wrote down Patterson, but I think I'm wrong.
It's Ralston by one, though. I actually thought it would be bigger, because I feel like
Patterson's,
he did get
it. Three apiece, that's not bad.
But you get two more questions in. You ran out of time.
Get the tiebreaker up there.
Ah, you're right, let's not work. You were thinking, I assume you were thinking Gary Naismith.
Yes.
Is Stenny, not Stirling Albion. Alan Mabry is Stirling Albion. Oops. And this was your big chance. You still had even further to go. Relegated from the Championship. It's the Ackies.
Yes.
Last season. So there we go. We go to a tiebreaker. I feel like we've had a couple of tiebreakers this week.
I've been pumped recently many times.
No. Every time we do one of these questions, it's fraught. Let's try it. Don't Google it, Kevin. Al, the key to this is you need to...
I'm out in my garden with the dogs. There's no chance of doing that.
That's the dog then.
Just you Google. You need to answer quickly, right? So I'll get Alex to write his answer down. As the crow flies, how many miles are between Hampden and Japan's National Stadium in Shinjuku? Exactly. What, Kevin? How many miles between Hampden and Japan's National Stadium in Shinjuku?
Right,
Kevin, what are you going for?
2,900.
Okay, 2,900 says Kevin versus 4,200 says Alex Ray. None of those were as calamitous as I hoped they would be. I thought somebody was going to get like miles off it, which normally happens. Well, literally, some of you are miles off it, but you know what I mean. The answer is 5,770.
I'm back.
You can't argue with that, Kevin. That's just luck. That's all.
Yeah,
that is. Well played. That was actually not a bad game.
Naismith once killed me, but I'll take it.
I know, unbelievable. Kevin, who's your team?
Celtic.
Right, last caller called that performance spineless at the weekend. How do you look back in it now?
See, to be honest, I was at the game on Sunday, and there was a lot of people saying sort of a lot of different things about the game, but I don't think you can really say it was completely spineless. Like, this goes right back to the start of the season. Like, the signing policy for the start of the season, I know I'm kind of deviating here, but the signing policy for the start of the season has been absolutely abysmal, which has obviously led to Brendan Rodgers leaving, and then the signing policy for having to get Nancy in and that debacle. So Celtic, I feel as if Celtic have been literally treading water since the start of the season. So I mean, some of the, we come back for Kilmarnock, we come back at Livingston, I can't remember the other game we come back for. So these are the same players that are winning these games in the last kick of the ball and doing great things and seeing the game out to the end. So it was a very poor performance on Sunday all round. But I'm going to say something. It's about there. I think Martin O'Neill's tactics and his choice of team and his substitutions and in-game management was absolutely shocking on Sunday.
Well, this is kind of what I was alluding to with the previous caller, just saying, I don't know, can you ever absolve, you know, a manager entirely?
No, I don't think so.
You know,
no, not at all.
You know, I know he's a legend, and the Celtic fans feel very fondly about him. But yeah.
Listen, the thing is,
everything.
Managers are no infallible either, Gordon. So they make mistakes as well, and they obviously put Hatate right back, thinking they would get more of the ball. And unfortunately, you're going to have to contest with pitches in Scotland over the course of, you know, that are going to be bad. They'll get the AstroTurf as well, which is for me not great. And you have to kind of negotiate all these things, and Celtic have managed to do that over the years. So I don't think the letter fit is as bad as it was.
Don't mean to open up a whole other debate, but this is what fans or defenders of the artificial surface would say. Because in fairness,
absolutely,
would you have rather played at Livy's pitch on Sunday or that at Tannadice?
Yeah,
and there is only one winner when it gets to that stage,
without a doubt. And but as I said, over the years, ideally you would, for me anyway, this is just my stance, you would like to play on a good grass pitch, but we live in Scotland, it's not conducive. Some handled the winter better than others. You look at Dundee last year as well, Gordon, which was a bit of a shambles.
But invested in it and sorted it.
Can I ask
Kevin, what in particular, Kevin, kind of tactically or substitution wise, did you think was wrong?
Well, I thought, although Ian Atchell came in as in, he wasn't really match fit, although Celtic weren't great in the first half, we were still getting in and around like Dundee United's box, and then he gets 10 minutes into the second half and he takes, I think, 10, 15 minutes in, and he takes him off, he puts Maeda through the middle. So we're only getting down the outsides anyway, so you've not got a focal point going through the middle. So any kind of movement off the ball or whatever we had just totally dissipated. And then we're trying to play long balls into channels as well at times, and you've got Yang and Niacho again, stop big with a guy Graham and the boy Riley. It's just, I thought the times of the game when we were playing, I just thought it was the wrong mistake all the time, the wrong option all the time.
I think that's the problem. Sorry, mate. I think that's one of the problems with Ian Atchell, is the how much you can get out of him. I think the fact that they brought him in late in August, I don't think he had a proper pre-season. I think he's always been playing catch-up. He's obviously had that more recent injury, so you've got that guy that kind of continuously breaks down, and they will know exactly what he's capable of playing without running the risk, because you've obviously still got to negotiate the next six or seven games, you know, and you want to try and keep him as fit as you possibly can. So it could have been that. He's just not fit enough to play longer.
The fact that they've obviously put Hatate right back when we were obviously a goal down at that point and you're pushing for a goal. I'm like, I was screaming out for it to go three to back, Donovan half injured, just put somebody up top with somebody in the middle. But to have a right back on the bench and then even put the right back on and put a midfielder at right back blew my mind. And that's how the second goal came for Hatate, obviously not being able to put the tackle in, and then it just obviously unravelled for there, you know what I mean? So there was so many on field during the game, decisions during the game, that I thought Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney got completely wrong. And I know as soon as I came off here, I'm going to get bombarded with WhatsApps off everybody about how can you say that about Martin O'Neill, but everybody's got to hold their hands up, you know what I mean? It's a collective, isn't it?
Your back garden sounds lively.
it's people out at the course earlier.
All
thing,
right,
mate.
I was wondering, my goodness, if that sounds like a garden going to kick off. Going on. I thought that was people already shouting at him for his Martin O'Neill criticism. See that bit about the right back, Tony, what is that? Is that a sort of attempt where you think you can, if you move like someone like Hatate there, it still somehow allows you to be like more attacking whilst filling that gap? Is that what it is?
I think it's probably a control thing, probably getting a centre mid who Celtic are used to defending with two when Carter Vickers is there, and they're probably hopeful that they can still do that, pen in Dundee United and get Hatate maybe playing higher up, coming inside, whatever. I think it was a gamble. and it backfired. And there, I suppose you can blame the manager for that kind of stuff. And no, I think spineless is harsh, but I think the result of the weekend has went a long way in deciding Celtic's title fate for me.
Thank you very much to Kevin on the line. Hard lines on the old tiebreaker. You were happy with that?
I'm absolutely delighted.
I was just waiting for somebody to say like 50,000 or something.
No, I was actually thinking, how long does it take hour wise? And I was saying 500. I was trying to work it in my mind.
Very methodical. I would have just plucked a number out of nowhere as well, I think.
I was thinking about 8, 9, 10 hours, something like that. So I'm thinking around about 4,500 miles, something like that.
So you had to calculate how quick planes fly?
Well, I was going to say, in an hour, I was thinking about 500 miles.
No idea. But I believe you. I'm not
about 500 miles, just over 500 miles. Yeah.
You go on the old sort of Glasgow to London flight.
Yeah, it was 500 miles. What? Right?
We have honestly, pardon the pun, covered some ground tonight from wigs, hair weaves.
How much per game Rangers tickets are going to be?
How many miles a plane goes in an hour? Producer tells me he's Googled it and you're bang on.
Is it?
Is that right? There's a bit of logic behind
it. Who knew Alex Ray was an aviation expert, eh? Things you don't expect to hear on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andrew is in Moodysburn. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What are you thinking tonight, Andrew?
I'm just calling, to be honest with you, regarding last night. Obviously, I'm a Thistle fan. I was at the game. Absolutely delighted with the result. Obviously, the first win up there in 15 years, so it's been a long time coming. Obviously, the first half, I've had a bit of magic near the end of the first half, and then second half runs a little bit of pressure, but I never really felt we were going to concede, and then just a little bit of magic at the end from Fitzy. I heard Alex, I don't know what was said, but I heard Alex wasn't too happy when he started running through and going instead of going to the corner flag. But
is this true?
Andrew, I'm going to jump in there. I was stood about two for here to Gordon. I was about maybe 2 meters away for Mark, and Alex Samuel was wrestling about four guys in the corner flag. He's bouncing them off, and the ball come back out into Fitzy, who was central. And we're thinking, just go to the other side and take it into the corner flag. As he starts beelining for the centre of the goal, I can hear Mark going, and I have to be careful what I say. He's going, For F's sake, Fitzy, what you doing?
So it was Mark.
Yes, and then all of us, as soon as he hits it, he went, "Well done, son." Just changed his mind.
He's just chucked the gaffer under the bus, Andrew.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
It was brilliant, man. So no, it was Willow was going off in 1-0. But brilliant, you know, we're encouraging Fitzy to try and get some numbers, and I think he's up to 13 assists as well now. So you know, he's coming good again at the right time for us.
No, I was delighted for him. I mean, the last few weeks he's had a little bit of a hard time. I've seen a few things online about his end product and stuff, but when you actually look at his numbers for the season, I mean, they're really not bad. And I think it just tells you that how good a player we know that he can be and he is, that we're judging him on his numbers when he's got 13 assists and 4 goals. It's still not a bad return for the season.
Mm-hmm. These two will never commit, obviously, Andrew, but 5 points now. What are you thinking? Can it be done?
I've got to say, I'm not committing either, to be honest with you, Gordon.
I think
it's amazing what a win can do. The fact that we're playing before St Johnstone this weekend, you get it back to 2 points, you put the pressure on and you see what they're made of. But we can only do what we can do. I mean, last night, again, looking at third place, you've just gone 9 clear with 6 to go. I think that's also massive. I've said it all season, if you can get second, it just makes such a big difference. But as well, I think we all went up there last night a little bit worried with the injuries and Josh Clark not being there. I thought Badenikis did everything he needed to do. I mean, the third minute, he's got some confidence after that with the save on the line, which is an absolute cracking save right in front of us. But even the guys that kind of slotted in, we've got Lowry at left back, we've got Ben McPherson playing right wing. I thought the boy Ingram did brilliant when he came in as well. So, I just think credit to the management team at that point as well for kind of putting square pegs in round holes, but it really did pay off last night. And if we can get these guys back, I know Tony maybe can't disclose that, but if we can get these guys back fit for the playoffs, I think, playoffs at least, I think we're on to a good thing.
I think you've got yourself a new analyst for the playoffs. He's got his notepad, he's in the stands. How is the rehab going? You were complaining about sore legs to me earlier on.
Yeah, the physio's been giving me a really tough programme. I've never really rehabbed. The only injuries I've ever had have been surgeries. I've never really had muscle injuries, and he's giving me a hard time, the physio, with the exercise he's giving me in the mornings. I'm aching quite a bit, but I'm hopefully ahead of schedule and be back as soon as possible.
There you go. Thank you very much to Andrew on the line. We'll be back with a teaser and more calls next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Trey and Tony Watt are here on 01419511025. So please do get in touch. Let us know what you are thinking this evening. Plenty of time left to switch focus to Scotland as well, which I'm sure we will do. Before we go any further, let's do this though. Mm.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Oh, this is a tricky question. Thank you to Chris and Danun for sending it in. I'm becoming a bit of a broken record on this, but genuinely, the thing that started impressing me more than anything with the way you send your teasers in is how quickly off the mark people are when they just, they get a story, they get the inspiration. This is about Mo Salah, hot off the press. So excluding the current Liverpool squad, who are six players who've played alongside Mo Salah and have also played for a Scottish club? This is tricky. So excluding the current Liverpool squad, don't give me the obvious ones. Who are the six players who've played at least one game, maybe just was one, with Mo Salah and have also played for a Scottish club?
So
jeez.
Well, that's brutal, isn't it?
That is horrendous.
Well, I'll give you a clue.
No, I know.
Which might be quite obvious. A couple of these you're looking at literally have played once with him, or twice. Right, a couple of them do fall into
Ben
that
Doak.
Category. Yes, there we go. Ben Doak played four with Mo Salah, and of course, I think made two Celtic appearances before he moved.
Is this only at Liverpool or anywhere?
No, no, it could be anywhere. The board, so we're thinking about Chelsea.
What would
Roma, Fiorentina.
Again? Pure. Ach, I'll leave you to it. Let you tie yourselves in knots for a bit. Then we'll
Chelsea.
Then we'll reconvene. Let's go to Brian. I think he was through first. We've got David, a Rangers fan, hanging on, but Brian pipped him to the post. Brian, what's your point tonight?
Aye, it's another Thistle fan on, Gordon.
Wow. This is what's happening when these two come in.
I know. I heard Andrew earlier, and I could have talked about either goal scorer last night, but just wanted to ask Tony and Alex about Ben McPherson and his response to being left out of the Scotland Under-21s, because he was absolutely sensational last night, and you saw how much he enjoyed that goal, how much it meant to him. Did you see a reaction from him to that? Being left out of the squad, or was that just a continuation of his good form in your eyes?
No, I don't think it had any bearing at all. The ironic thing is for me is that, you know, when he was at Celtic, he was a regular. He obviously signs with us, and I have to say, since he came into us, he's been brilliant. He's grown in stature, and you know, if anything, you would think he's in better place to go and represent Scotland than he was before, because he's actually hitting a level of consistency, whether it's a right back. He obviously stepped up wanting to play right midfield yesterday, and he obviously got that first goal. What I will say is, at the back of the bus, as soon as the game's finished, I always sit down the front with Mark. Very rarely venture beyond the halfway stage.
Probably wise.
Just to the toilet. That's my only, after the game. And I just couldn't resist getting up to see him afterwards, because it was his first senior goal last night.
Yep.
And I says to him, you need to sort out your celebration, Barry. You could clearly tell it was his first. I think he was more surprised than anybody else in the stadium. So,
Shearer. He'd done a Shearer.
Was it? Aye. Oh, man. I don't even know what he was doing. I was like, my God. But, you know, the raw emotion of scoring your first senior goal, it's brilliant. It's really good for him. And as I said, he's been brilliant for us. And he's got a bright future in the game.
What the players talk about that sort of stuff. Would you have fancied them to get in that Under-21 squad? Is that something that gets discussed?
Yeah, our group chat went quite mad on the day it was announced, Ben and the other Ben Stanway. We couldn't believe it, to be honest. Ferdo, Ben McPherson, he's been a regular in the squads, and like they said, when he was at Celtic, he was in it, still at Celtic in it.
Signed, he's been in 21 squads?
Yes, still
previously. Yeah.
Permanently signs with us, the first squad after, he's not in it. And then Stanway, for me, I don't know if there's been a better young player in all of Scotland in terms of what he's done for his club. Obviously, people say Mikey Moore, okay, fair play.
It's Scottish, though. You're limit it to that.
Yeah, if you're limited to Scotland, but I mean, even if you're talking
across the board,
across the four divisions, I don't think there's been a better young player. You put your Mikey Moores into that, take him away and only do Scottish, then I think you would be really struggling. You've got boys in the squad who aren't even playing games. For me, Ben Stanway's been the best young player in Scotland, and for him not to be in it again is a disgrace. And
I actually had a message from Ryan who said I'm in my mates just now, and he used to teach Ben Stanway. He's wanting to ask the guy's thoughts on him not being in the squad because he's raging about it. So there you go, you've covered that off.
Both Bens, like, they both deserve it, but Ferdo's been in it. it was probably more upsetting for Wee Stanway because he's never been in it. He thought
this was the
what
one.
Can you do? He's been scoring worldies. He ran the show against St Mirren in terms of the middle of the park. He was so good. And then, but even McPherson, like you're just expecting him to be in it. You're just thinking about if Stanway's not in it, and then even Wee Lit Sosa as well. Like we're winning. How many games we won this season? Like surely you take players for teams that are winning. How many games we won? 15 out of 30. Like you want to win a mentality in your squad, and no, it's been a strange.
It would have been a good. It'd have been great for them personally, but see if one of the two had gotten taken out of our team last night, because obviously we lost a goalkeeper.
It
would have been a real blow for us, and because the two of them have been great.
So
and
you need
the
them. You would have needed them both called up, yes. And then you could have postponed the game.
Yeah. Yes,
Brian, that's a bit of a catch 22. You're happy that he's not called up all of a sudden.
On reflection, we're glad the game was on because it's one of the best performances of the season, and that takes us into Friday. And I've just said ask the guys like the. Support all season's been brilliant last night, but what an opportunity on Friday to get a big crowd when there's not a lot else on this weekend apart from Scotland. There's games spread everywhere, so just encourage every Thistle fan, but also maybe people who don't support Thistle to come along and see a cracking football team.
I know, what did you do for that to deserve that schedule? No, Tuesday, Friday. I know it's not any different the number of days wise, but it just feels
Scotland. It's not to do with Scotland,
of course, because they play at
I think there's two games on Saturday to full league. I think it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, just so that the folk can get home and watch the Scotland game. And so that was a conscious decision by the club to do that. But I think he makes a good point about trying to trap up, even if you're kind of a local guy, just come along and support your local team. I think it was at 6,200 last week, which was an incredible turnout for the St Johnstone game. So hopefully we can get good numbers again.
How do you feel about the
Can I put Tony in the spot before I go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the best place for him.
Yes, do it.
He's not been picked for Beat the Pundit. So it's coming up for Team of the Year time, right? So assuming the Championship Team of the Year might feature some Thistle players, given we're second at the moment. If you were to pick one, who would be the first Thistle player you would put in that Championship Team of the Year?
Yes, the team group chat's about to batter him for leaving some out.
I think it has to be Stanway. I think for what he's done for us and how many goals he's got, the numbers are there. By the way, there's a few that should definitely be in it, but Stanners for me has been probably our shining light. And by the way, there's been so many. There's been so many to mention. Fitzpatrick, Chalmers, Stanway, the lot, they've all been brilliant, but it takes a team effort to get as many wins as we've got. But I'd give him the praise. I don't really praise him much. I'm on him quite a lot.
I know, I terrorise like
him. I terrorise him
we
quite
do
a
every
bit.
Morning, don't we?
Yeah, we're harsh on him and he takes a bait, but no, I think he deserves it.
There we go. Thank you very much to Brian for getting in touch this evening. About to speak to David. Let me just quickly check in your teaser. Excluding the current Liverpool squad, who are the six players who've played at least once with Mo Salah and they've also played with a Scottish club? Ben Gannon-Doak is your sole offering so far.
Is there any goalkeepers, Tony, that spring to mind?
No.
You know, at Chelsea that...
Right, I can tell how this is going to go already, even
very
though it's
badly.
Early.
The disastrous...
Don't worry about Chelsea. That would be my advice to you.
Okay, I'll just wait.
Liverpool.
Roma? Fiorentina?
Let's go mostly Liverpool.
Okay, well, that's a wee bit better.
Mostly. Not exclusively.
So last 9 years, Tony?
Mostly.
Liverpool.
You're usually quite good at the teaser.
I know. Every time I think of Sonny Robertson and Van Dijk, and I can't get out of my head.
Excluding the current squad. David's in Barrhead as a Rangers fan. David, what are you thinking tonight?
I was listening earlier talking about the signings that came in at Christmas and about how we seem to be, whoever's doing the picking seems to be bringing a better quality, a better ability of player. And we're talking about Romans and Chingwaga and all that. Mm-hmm. But Nadiri, I think, has been a fantastic player. He's been played out of his position, not an out-and-out striker. But the work rate he's putting in every week is brilliant. And I think Danny Rose has mentioned that, and he appreciates that. He's been playing out of position. He's pulling players away, making spaces, doing runs. The sort of young McCoystish kind of just getting in there, making them in, getting the moves, doing the runs. And I would love to see him as a sole striker, but I think we're forgetting he is still a very young man, and he is being played out of position, and he's still managing to look like a quality player as well.
How does kind of half of your coaching hat on, Alex, and half of you keep a keen eye on Rangers? What's that sort of debate like where you say, right, we want to play two up front and we're playing these two guys. Now, maybe these two guys aren't, you know, they're not firing personally. They're not having like brilliant games. But is it, are they facilitating the performance? Yeah. And how do you strike? Because, you know, like we said, so at the weekend, they score four, neither of those two score. Nadiri does seem to do a lot of his better work outside the box. Is that cause to change that, or is it, or is it not because they're winning?
Well, first and foremost, it's about the winning. So that would, to answer your question, it would be the collective. You know, if Rangers continue to win and these two guys are not kind of get high numbers in front of goal, then I would imagine that the manager would be relatively happy with that, as long as he's getting the goals from other areas. I think when you're not winning games, then automatically the scrutiny comes on the two number nines. And I think Rangers, well, do we have to go back to January now since he scored from a set play? Was that right? It was, somebody said that it's been a real while since Rangers scored for a set play. So, you know, they were quite regular. They were getting goals from that area.
Would that be like is that like first contact? Is that what you count that at? Because Raskin's from a free kick in the box at the weekend.
It may well be that was the first time. I'm trying to think whether whether that was the case. But anyway, the point was that they hadn't scored for a while, right. And I think that was on Sky or whatever it was been shown. So I think that was a feature for a while, where they were getting through games and they were scoring for set pieces. Fernandez and Suter and guys were kind of strong early. But I think as long as you're winning games. Yeah. Then the scrutiny will not be so much at the top end, because if you're paying £9 million and you're going, this guy's not scoring goals, but assuming you're winning games, it matters.
Yeah, because it was a great kind of way of putting it last night. I think it came up, Tony, and the gist was, or I think somebody was saying, I'd play Miovsky, I think someone said, and then David saying he wouldn't mind seeing Nadiri up front. But the reality is, if Rangers win 4-1, when they play their next game, you're not going to grudge the manager for picking the same team, are you?
No, I think you said it right as well. It's the manager's got a formation he's playing now. He could easily switch to a 4-3-3 or put two wingers and drop a striker, but he likes what the strikers are doing, and he's trying to facilitate both of them, and it's working. They're probably not scoring the goals that people are expecting, but they're doing a lot of work for the team, and it, like you said, it's helping other people score goals. They're running the legs off defences, and people are getting the knockdowns. People are getting the cutbacks, and Rangers look a threat in a kind of 4-2-2-2 or a 4-4-2, what they are playing, and I think they're looking all right at the moment. I don't think they need to change. I don't think Miovsky is really a Danny Rowe type player. I don't think he's robust enough or big enough, or even I don't think he's got the legs for it in terms of what Nadiri has. So I think him and Chumita are doing all right at the moment. Would I like to see Chumita score a few more goals in terms of against the smaller teams? Yes, but I think he has put in his fair share as well.
What do you make of him, David, if we're talking about Nadiri? What about Chirmita? You, to what level are you happy with him turning up in the big games and scoring? Yep. How much would you like to see him become a bit of a flat track bully, if you like, as well?
I would like to see him being more greedy and much more a more kind of attack minded, rather than he seems to create a lot or create for somebody else or create spaces. But I'd like to see him just being greedy and concentrating himself and getting goals for himself, because I think he's more of a he's too much of a team player at the moment, and I think he'd be better if he just concentrated on getting in front of the goal and getting chances in the back of the net.
No, listen, I've been saying for both of them, Chirmita and Ndiaye, that they do the a lot of stuff out with the box, particularly in the build. But in saying that may well be dragging the defence out, which frees up other people to capitalise on that. But I quite like the two strikers, at least one of them to be in the kill zone, and then your opposite side winger to then join up and make a two. So I think there's still development in these guys. They are still young, but ultimately they're going to have to get more numbers regardless.
Thank you very much to David on the line. I'm getting a few folks sending messages about this teaser. A couple of good answers that you
one,
two
maybe?
Don't have. Craig sent one in. So excluding the current Liverpool squad, six players who've played with Mo Salah, like on the same pitch, and also played for a Scottish club like Ben Gannon-Doak.
Ryan Kent?
No, but you're at least on the right lines.
I think I've got two.
That's a good shout.
Nat Phillips?
Yes, 26 times together for Liverpool, and he played 8 times for Celtic I don't know if the Celtic fans remember it too fondly, but he was there nevertheless.
The Ox.
It's the obvious one.
Yeah.
Do you know how many games he played with Mo Salah? 109. Nice. And it took you two to the stage.
I might have a third, but I'm scared to say it.
We can save that one for after.
Wait,
because I've got something else I need to just quickly run by you. I spoke about this last night. Hopefully you went and checked it out. Gordon Dale was straight on it. If you've not heard already, Clyde One have launched a brand new Rail original podcast. And I know loads of folk are into this sort of stuff. True crime, easy for me to say, podcast called Beware Book. And it's focused naturally on a series of unsolved murders in Glasgow between 91 and 2005. So got a bit of local interest there as well. It was put together by our very own Clyde One News team, hosted by Colette McGonagall, Callum McQuaid, who you'll hear on air every day here, speaking to some of the families involved, re-examining the investigations, all the sort of stuff you would expect from a true crime podcast. So go and check it out. 7 episodes in total. First 2 are out now. The Rail app, you can listen there for free or wherever you get your podcasts. And new ones out every Monday. So Beware Book from the Clyde One News team. Check it out, and we'll be back with more calls and hopefully the answers to this teaser next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. These two have been racking their brains, as well as telling me some of the stuff that goes on in the Partick Thistle changing room at the break. Oh, shudder to think.
It's before the watershed.
Oh my word, this is a family show. Couldn't possibly. But your teaser tonight is, excluding the current Liverpool squad, 6 players who've played alongside Mo Salah and also played in Scotland: Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, a nice obvious one; Nat Phillips and Ben Gannon-Doak.
Ben Davies.
No. But again, no, it's not a terrible shot.
No.
I'm backs against the wall here. I don't think it's true. I think he might still be there. Freddie Woodman.
No.
Big Ovi. No. Remember him?
Aye.
There is one that wasn't at Liverpool, and it was at Roma, I think.
Right. Okay.
But the other two are in that other category of, you know, Liverpool, and maybe came up here for a short time or on loan, or maybe in fact one actually started here. I'll give you as a wee clue. One started here and then went and played with Mo Salah. It's a bit of an outlier. No.
Oh, Calvin Ramsey.
Yes, Calvin Ramsey.
Is he not still there?
Oh, it's a good point. By the way, he is still there. Now you get him scrubbed off.
That's why I was struggling.
Is that why you missed
that
him
must
out?
Have been why I'm
good
struggling.
Good shout, actually. Bring him back.
That's not bad.
He's not bad.
He's still at Liverpool, isn't he? In fact, I remember Slot made some pretty unforgiving comments about
few,
him this season.
Really poor comments, I thought.
Maybe technically not in the first team squad right now.
We'll give him that.
That's me trying to wriggle out of it. We'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
What have we got? One left?
Two. All right, let's hear a bit from. I think that was possibly an oversight. We probably shouldn't have had Calvin Ramsey back. We'll put it in. Bit of variety. It doesn't really matter, does it? Who's keeping count? It's a bit of fun anyway, the old full-time teaser. On that note, if you want to send a question in, fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit from the Scotland camp. We're going to have to ramp up the build-up to this in the coming days. What about hearing from Stephen Naismith on Scott McTominay? He says he's deserving credit for turning himself from a Manchester United scapegoat into the guy that's got the mural right above where the team are training at the moment.
His initial, when he comes into the squad, he's a beast of an athlete. He's big, he's strong, he's powerful. The pace he passed the ball at when he was at, you're like, he's got some real strength here. And then he just grows and grows. Like, go back to when he played centre-half. So he's played centre-half, he's played centre-mid, he's played as a forward. That tells you his knowledge and understanding of the game's top. But the biggest compliment I can pay him is he has turned himself into the most professional athlete he can be. And that's everything is secondary to him performing and being in peak condition. And undoubtedly, when he's been at Man United, he'll have fed off the best to see what that is, what do you need to do, his dedication. And that is why, because when he was at Man U, he was a scapegoat at times. When he was at a club that weren't at their best, he got the brunt of it at times, and then he was brave enough to move in our country and become a star. That is what he is. He's that, like, the mural tells you everything. The moment he's had here, but the way he lives his life is incredible, and that's credit to him.
What about on a perhaps a bigger, wider issue in the contract of Steve Clarke? Stephen Naismith doesn't think it will be a fully appreciated the job that's been done till he is gone, but doesn't think it would prove to be a distraction, all this contract talk over the summer.
Football is so fast paced now that nothing's appreciated at the time. I think if you look everywhere, if Callum Davies can win two a double at St Johnstone and lose his job a year later, and that tells you where football's at. But I think, like every successful person in Scotland, as they get older and as the things move on, you do appreciate what you had then rather than in the moment. So we're probably all guilty of that. But I think with the two tournaments we've been at, the way we've performed at them, the main focus has been we need to make sure everything's bang on in the tournament. What will happen will get resolved and get worked out. But I think the relationship the manager's got, especially with the people that make the decisions here, is good. It's really good. And I think that's the thing that everybody's probably comfortable about. There'll be times that things move on. That is where it is. But at the moment, we should just enjoy what we have. We're going to the World Cup, and I've got no doubt things will get sorted.
It's quite an interesting one, that, because Steve Clarke was maybe a bit more open about it last week than you might have expected, talking about, you know, not having any concrete offer yet. Sure. And not having anything from clubs and maybe leaving that door open. And you can totally get why then, because he will probably still be getting asked about that now every time he meets the press. So is that a distraction, or could you possibly do it before the World Cup when you don't then know if it is a brilliant success or hopefully not, you know, something on the opposite side of that?
Yeah, listen, I think he's experienced enough to bat it away, Gordon. You know, even if he's asked to, listen, the closer it gets to the World Cup, I would imagine he would say, listen, boys, I'm just focused. Whatever happened with me, we'll get sorted down the line. I think he could evade that question. Having listened to him last week as well, when he spoke about, he says, listen, I'm open to club football again. And it's interesting because I think you get to a certain age where I think international football has been great for him. 2 Euros in the World Cup, it's been a highly successful period as a national coach, and with his experience of working down south and obviously with Kilmarnock, I think there'll be most certainly offers and good offers, and it's just whatever one kind of tempts him back in. If he does exceptionally well in the World Cup, I would imagine that they will probably try and clamour to keep him. You know, Big Maxi at the SFA will be throwing everything at him to try and extend that. But some, you know, international football, there's a lifespan in every profession, so there may well be it's coming to the end of that. Or by the way, there's another one for you. Can you imagine there's another international team observing what's going on there as well? Because he's done such a good job here that possibly that could be another option.
What do you think you can take away from these friendlies where everybody's, you know, they're there to gear towards World Cup, obviously. So you want to see people and you want to see them play well and you want signs at things. But also, it's March, it's a mad schedule at the moment club-wise, and let's be honest, probably the priority's coming through them and making sure nobody's injured as well, which is, you know, what's to be gained?
I think we know by now Steve Clarke's very rigid with his squads and with his teams, and I think he'll know his team 80% for the World Cup. I think he'll have a few positions he maybe needs to fill, but as long as everybody gets unscathed and he gets a decent amount of minutes into his main players and the players that he wants to see, I think he'll be happy with that.
Right, two more to get on. Excluding the current Liverpool squad, 6 players who've played with Mo Salah and played for a Scottish club, with Calvin Ramsey, maybe we shouldn't have included him, but he's in there anyway. Oxlade-Chamberlain, Nat Phillips, Ben Gannon-Doak, 2 to get.
Struggling.
We need a help.
Youngster at Liverpool and then came up to Aberdeen and has now gone away again, actually.
Leighton Clarkson.
Yes. And the only Roma one, he only played 4 games for Rangers in 2018. The Rangers fans would much rather forget
happened. The big striker.
But he's gone on to have a great career.
Sadiq, yeah.
Umar Sadiq. Nice. Well done, Alex Ray and Tony Watt. All the best for Friday evening.
Thank you.
We'll be watching on with interest. And we are back tomorrow. So thank you for your company this evening. We'll be back at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, catch up wherever you get your podcasts, and rest up. Speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla.
That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.